I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset, your one-stop shop for all that's happening in Chicago and beyond. Americans throw away a lot of clothes every year, about 80 pounds per person. And that doesn't even include other fabric, sheets, towels, blankets, you name it. Even if you try to reuse fabric, like making an old t-shirt into a cleaning rag, eventually you'll still need to throw that rag away. And here's the thing, fabric is actually pretty hard to recycle, so when you throw it away, it just sits in landfills. So what do you do? Well, Emily Winter had her own idea to recycle the fabric she wastes as a weaver. She's the director and co-founder of The Weaving Mill in Humboldt Park, and she's created a people-powered way to reuse the inevitable fabric scraps that she generates. Emily, first, tell us about The Weaving Mill and why you started it.
Yeah, so The Weaving Mill is an artist-run industrial weaving studio in Humboldt Park. And we do a variety of projects and programs. We produce fabric, home goods, apparel, and we are partnered with Envision Unlimited, which is a social services agency here in Chicago that works with adults with developmental disabilities. So we run a hand weaving program in partnership with Envision.
Oh, that's cool. Tell us more about what that looks like.
Program. Yeah. So it's called the WEFT program. And we have weekly hand weaving classes where we're working with day program participants on designing and making fabric, which we produce tote bags, blankets, placemats, rugs, all kinds of handwoven goods, which we sell around town.
So I set this up a little bit, but I want you to go in more depth here describing this problem of textile waste more broadly and how it factors into the decisions that you make.
Absolutely, yeah. So as a fairly, you know, large scale weaving operation in the grand scheme of things, we definitely produce waste. And a lot of the studio ethos at the Weaving Mill is really trying to look holistically at the materials that we're using and the waste that we produce and come up with circular sort of methods for working with the what you might call byproducts and kind of finding new life for them. So we have a lot of different sort of streams within the studio by which we can move material around and find new uses for it. But at the end of the day, there's always that pile of scrap that is too small.
Yeah. So like, how do you approach that as an artist? I'm thinking, you know, the fact that there will inevitably be scrap, right? You know, from your art, but no matter how careful you are, there are materials that, you know, you've got to use some, right?
Absolutely.
So how do you decipher?
Yeah, totally. So as you can, as you just said, like no matter how sort of zero waste minded and weaver or a textile artist or fiber artist is, there is always that leftover material that doesn't really have a use. And so you can sort of run through the gamut of possible sort of, you know, projects or uses for that material. But at a certain point, really the most effective thing to do is to shred it and make sort of small pieces even smaller. And so globally, as you mentioned, with like the sort of the larger scale problem of recycling textiles, shredding is one of the main ways that textile waste is dealt with, and it's shredded into smaller pieces. And there's a whole history of this, the shoddy manufacturing movement in the 19th century and all these sort of ways of making fiber waste smaller and then turning it into insulation and packaging and all these kinds of things. And at the Weaving Mill, we, you know, initially sort of looked into, considered trying to acquire a commercial shredder and ran into some of the limitations of that, largely in the sense that they're really expensive, they're giant, they're noisy, they're incredibly dangerous.
Because commercial shredding, that's usually, that's the method that's used on a large scale.
Yes. And so those are giant, crazy shredders that you can like drop, you know, hundreds of pounds of material in and it'll make it into much smaller pieces.
But that's not an option for you.
Right. It's not an option for us. And so we kind of dialed it back and started working on this people-powered shredder, which is really designed to deal with waste at the scale at which it's produced.
People-powered. Sounds exhausting.
Well, Sasha, you should know.
Why, Emily? Why should I know? No. It's not like I was at the Weaving Mill yesterday hanging out with you and
treadling away. Yeah. So, you know, part of this was thinking about when we think about sort of dealing with waste streams, not adding another sort of energy sucking large scale industrial machine to the arsenal of large scale industrial machines, but really, again, as I said, kind of dialing it back, slowing it down. And part of this is, as much as this project is about actually shredding material and making a workable byproduct, it's also about kind of making an opportunity for people to, confront maybe or engage with or encounter sort of the fact of waste and how we can deal with it. So mm-hmm. the people-powered shredder, it requires about 4 or 5 people to operate it. It's a treadle-powered shredding machine. So okay. we have a large treadle, sort of like an old-school sewing machine treadle, but much larger. Mm-hmm. And you sit 4 people, 2 facing 2, and treadle like a seesaw. And this drives a flywheel, which then drives a shredding mechanism.
And it's pretty big. I saw it yesterday, and it was bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
it's pretty,
yeah.
And it's all wood.
It's wood and metal. Yep, wood and metal.
Yeah,
yeah, so we've got a metal flywheel, metal shredding, and then the whole sort of case of the machine is wood.
So I took this field trip to the weaving mill yesterday, and I tried out the shredder in person. So why don't we go ahead and listen to a bit of how that went. You and Eric Newman, who is the person who designed the shredder, you walked us through how it works.
Right now it's set up to be driven by 4 people and operated by 1 person.
Okay.
So the 4 drivers sit 2x2 facing each other on either side of the treadle and basically pump this treadle platform up and down. That spins the mechanism. There's a system of chains and gears that gear down the rate of that, because basically we need to amplify the torque that the people are generating in, because the industrial shredders, the smallest one is like 5 horsepower, and we have, with 4 people, we may have half a horsepower.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
we're well under power, so we have to amplify that by slowing everything down.
I see.
So there's a system of gears and sprockets and chains that gear everything down, so it's about, I think I calculated it's about a 14-to-1 ratio of the final shredder. And the operator stands at the other side of the machine and feeds fabric into some rollers that pull it into these shredders.
Very interesting. I'm hearing originally this was supposed to be a bike.
Yes. We decided against it due to the fact that when a number of people are working cooperatively pedaling, if you've ever ridden a tandem bicycle with somebody you don't like, there's a tendency to get your shins caught up. So we're like, we just want to make it as safe as possible, mm-hmm. and as gentle as possible, and as pleasurable a machine to just sit here and basically kind of relax and do a little bit of work at the same time.
Makes sense to me. Well, there are 5 of us here. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I'll be a driver, and okay. let's get this thing
let's
going.
Let's treadle. Right.
Yeah.
Let's treadle. Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. So we've got our feet on this board,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just going to follow your lead.
Great. All right. Okay. Kendall's going to start.
To go over the top.
I like this. Why do I feel like I'm in a playground?
You are.
It is. It's like a teeter-totter.
It's a seesaw.
Oh my gosh.
It's a leg-powered seesaw.
Oh, this is so cool.
Are we going over fast?
Are we going down fast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Pulling it down. It's going into the cutters, so be ready to push a little bit. Keep the same speed, but just pull harder.
Basically, there's like a whole giant global industry based around making small things smaller, you know, and it's like small. In some ways, like a small thing is more useful than a medium-sized thing in a way. It sort of like turns waste into a raw material in its own right. And so that's essentially what we're doing, is taking our unuseful waste materials, scrap materials, and then making them into their own sort of micro byproduct, which we're then experimenting with different ways to give it new life. So through paper making, using it as pillow stuffings, compressing it, turning it into other things, basically trying to sort of build a process here whereby we can take our unusable things, turn it into a new byproduct, and then make other things.
Mm-hmm. No waste.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
We had way too much fun.
I think
with
we
that.
Had just enough fun, actually. Yeah.
Didn't realize how hard I was laughing, Emily.
Me neither.
Until hearing that tape.
It's kind of infectious, I feel like. It's
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well,
oh,
shout
God.
Out to Eric, and who designed the machine, and Kendall, who was there as well, you know, as our fourth person sort of helping us treadle, Reset producer Linnea as well, who helped put this all together. This was definitely, it felt in the moment, Emily, like a communal process, right? And like you said, that's the goal, right?
Absolutely, yeah. There's definitely, as you heard in the tape, there's a lot of communication, you know, the person driving the machine, Eric,
telling us, slow down.
Slow down.
Oh, we're going too fast. Oh, yep. We're going backwards.
Definitely going backwards is an issue. But yeah, there's a lot of communication. And the idea with this, as I was saying earlier, is really that it's not so much that we're coming up with a solution to deal with the textile waste problem writ large. This is not the scale of this machine, and this solution is not something where we can, you know, shred all of Chicago's unwanted textiles, right? It's really about working at a smaller, more local scale and kind of thinking about building a system that works with specifically the weaving mill ecosystem and our sort of more localized community and the waste that we produce, and coming up with, as I was saying earlier, kind of like holistic integrated systems to deal with that waste material. And so it's definitely a communal process.
And talk about how long this has been in the making as far as making this people-powered shredder, because I know Eric has been through a few versions.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of prototypes and troubleshooting. So we started working in earnest about a year ago. The idea germinated quite a while ago, and then we were very lucky to get some funding from the Design Museum of Chicago and the MART through the DCASE also, and Neocon, all funders of the Designing a Better Chicago program. So that grant really made this project possible. So major, major thanks to everybody at Designing a Better Chicago. But we've been working on it for about a year, and the machine is about 95%. You know, we're still, it's one of those things where I think it's going to be, as we continue to use it and work with it, we're going to learn more about how to work with it and how to make
it work.
Well,
that sound
with the
space that we were hearing, Eric says he's working on getting rid of that, and he thinks he already has the fix.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was encouraging.
Totally, yeah. And it's just a process of, as I said, working with the machine and learning how it wants to work and adapting.
Yeah. Well, what has the community response been to the shredder? Because you mentioned yesterday when I saw you, you said people are excited for this thing, but talk to us about that. How have you been showing them how it works?
Yeah. So people are definitely excited. And I think part of that is people are very hungry for a place to discard their textile waste, which we have to
Are they coming in for tours or?
Not yet. So we're just installing the machine this month at the weaving mill, and we will be open this weekend on Saturday for an open house from 12 to 6. So folks are welcome to come over then to visit the studio and see the shredder in action. And so people have been, you know, it's just that slow word of mouth spread. I think
nice.
The people power definitely hooks a lot of people and piques their curiosity.
Definitely piques their ears. Yeah. And I love what you said before, right? This is not a fix for the whole industry. This is just an opportunity for you to think outside the box and think of what is at your disposal to, you know, to try to make a dent in the problem.
Yeah. And I think part of it also is, you know, larger scale shredders can be, you know, at minimum $60,000 for an industrial shredding machine. And, you know, we built this machine mostly with available materials. The only thing we had custom made was the shredder blades. We had those cut and heat treated. But this is definitely something that if this process is intriguing to other fiber artists or studios or community groups, like this is something that conceivably with, you know, some skill, but not an not out of reach amount of skill, one could build and install in their own studio. So this is really about sort of dispersed solutions that operate at a slightly smaller scale.
Are you hoping to inspire other artists and makers?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So part of this project, as we sort of finalize the design and the functionality, is to produce a booklet zine kind of talking about the process of building the machine, its core elements, and then some of the projects that we're making with the byproducts. And that will be something that hopefully will get people's brains going.
I'm wondering how the fabric shredder takes on something that's a chore and transforms it.
Totally. Yeah, it is. You know, I find for me as somebody who enjoys making things and enjoys sort of repetitive processes, there's something that's really kind of like fun and also like a little bit. It's I feel like sometimes the best conversations that I have with people are when we're all kind of working on something that's a little bit mindless, you know, so you kind of have like part of your brain is focused on whatever that little task is. Maybe it's treadling.
Something
maybe
that you can do in your sleep.
Chopping onions, you know, whatever it is. That right. If everybody's kind of like working on their little project, that sometimes that kind of opens up a sort of more comfortable conversational method or whatever. And so there's something about the shredder where you're sitting there and you're working together and it is goofy. Like you heard us all laughing. Like we're it really is just like a giant, you know, seesaw that you're pushing with your legs. And so you're reacting to the machine itself. You're kind of responding and reacting to the people that you're working with. And there's definitely a very playful aspect to it. And in the design process, Eric was looking at a lot of playground equipment, even to think about the power generation, which is just kind of, you know, part of, it's just really basic power mechanics that this machine is using. And so going back to basics, to the playground is makes a lot of sense.
I loved it. I certainly loved it. I even broke a little bit of a sweat there, which was good.
Yeah.
So we mentioned earlier, we're in the middle of Chicago Textile Week. The shredder is going to be featured this weekend. Are you excited?
Oh my God, so excited. We've been cleaning the studio, you know, emptying the vacuum left and right. This is the third year of Chicago Textile Week, and the Weaving Mill has been a part of it every year in different incarnations. And so,
what did you feature last year? I'm curious.
We did an open studio last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then actually the first year we threw a 100th birthday party for one of our machines.
Oh, nice.
Which was turning 100. How many chances do you have to throw
a 100th birthday party for a
giant machine? Yeah. So Chicago Textile Week is happening now. There's a full week of events happening every day. And then Saturday is open studio tour days. So there's going to be a number of studios open around the city from 12 to 6. So you can visit the Chicago Textile Week website to get all the info.
So when you look back at this weekend and you think, oh, that was successful, what will it have looked like for you?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm just excited to, you know, it's always fun to have people in the studio. It's the kind of thing where, you know, we spend so much time there doing our projects, making things, running the mill. And it's so, even just when you and Linnea were over the other day, just seeing what other people see when they come into the studio is always such a great moment, you know, and sort of like, I never noticed that. Or, I
know
that
we were
this,
noticing and all the pretty things.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this looks like a spider web. Wow,
totally.
This is great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always, it's
you're
always
like,
fun to share.
You're like,
with
it's
people.
Just thread. It's
well,
just yarn.
No.
So, what's next for the weaving mill?
Oh, great question. Well, we are, you know, we got our eyes on the prize for Chicago Textile Week and supporting all of our friends and comrades. And yeah, we're working on a number of new projects.
Getting that people power shredder from 95% to 100%.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's Emily Winter, co-founder and director of the Weaving Mill. We also heard from Eric Newman, who's a designer, fabricator, repairer, and instructor at the Designed Objects Department at SAIC. Thank you, Emily.
Oh my God. Thanks, Sasha.
That was fun. This episode of Reset was produced by Linnea Dominic and mixed by Meha Ahmed. Subscribe to this podcast to stay up to date on local news, politics, arts, and culture. We drop an episode in your feed every weekday afternoon, and sometimes on Saturday. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll see you right back here on Monday.